La la la. Hey, what's up, everyone? I'm Sarah.
I'm Liz.
And this is the It's Fine, I'm Fine podcast.
Hello.
Hello. How's it going?
Happy Tuesday, everybody.
Happy Tuesday.
It's been a crazy time. We're happy to be providing you with an awesome episode today that we recorded a little while ago with someone named Ramona Sidlow. She's awesome. She is an energy healer, self-love advocate. I'll talk to you all a little bit more about her before we present her portion of the episode. Before we do, should we get right into Peak and Pit?
Let's get right into it.
I can start.
Go ahead.
So my pit is the obvious, just, I think this is probably both of our pits. It's everyone's pit. It's just, you know, it's a hard time at the moment.
Yeah.
We don't know everything right now. We're still kind of, as we're recording this, we're still kind of in limbo. And I just know that it's just been hard for so many people in so many different ways. And it's just not a good feeling to not know. It's not a good feeling to feel, you know, like just on edge.
Yeah.
I feel like everybody just feels on edge.
Totally.
And it's no good. It's no bueno. And I said on my Instagram story, like sometimes there's nothing else to say.
Yeah.
It's hard.
I agree.
And then my peak was, I actually went to like a mini wedding. It was very safe. There were not a lot of people there. It was my cousin's wedding and it was just like really nice because that was my first COVID wedding. And, I was in the, like the mini wedding party and it was just like really lovely and we danced and I got to be with my family and it felt like semi-normal. So I was really grateful to be able to do that.
That's lovely.
Yeah.
And you looked beautiful.
Thank you.
My pit is the same. Mm-hmm. And just to clarify, we mean the election.
Yeah.
Spooky. Spooky. Happy Halloween.
Right. Seriously.
But yeah, it's just been like a really, really stressful time. Mm-hmm. Lots of anxiety and like, not to mention, like, I don't know the facts, but I don't know the last time when an election took this long for a result to come through. And, like, talk about anxiety. Like, I have this immense fear of the unknown.
Totally.
And this is just like, okay, we're going to, like, take something really important and just make it unknown for days on end.
Yeah.
And, like, it's just triggering so many people's anxieties. And it's just, like, really hard to live in this time where we just don't have answers.
Yeah.
So hopefully we have answers soon.
I don't know what they did in like the old days when they didn't have polls.
It's like the time of Hamilton. Days.
Right. Like I imagine that sort of took a long time, right?
I mean, yeah.
I have no idea.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. Like there was no like electronic voting at one point.
No, but like whatever.
I don't
definitely
know.
Do not have to get into it, nor do I want to.
Yeah. It's just like, it's just not a good time. It's not a fun time right now. And I think we're literally all just like going through collective drama again.
Yeah.
I actually saw a funny TikTok. Sorry, really side note, but I saw a funny TikTok and it was like,
is it the 2021?
Yeah. It was like this guy talking to quote unquote God and he was like, God was like, did you like plan out the events of the 2020s like I told you?
And he's like, 2020s?
Yeah, he's like, 2020s? And he's like, yeah, I like asked you to make all these events spread out for the next 10 years. He was like, I thought you just said 2020. And it's just like funny because it really feels like so much has happened this year. But anyway, moving on to my peak. So I really enjoy working out and I sometimes it's hard for me to get back into it when I've stopped for a while. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, when you just like don't work out for a while. You're like, how am I going to get back into it? And that first day is just like always hard, at least for me. Like that first day back is always difficult. But I've been pretty consistent recently. It's been like 23 days, which for me is a big deal.
That's great.
That I've been like active in some way every single day. And like, although I'm not seeing results like physically, I'm feeling them, which is like also
counts.
A great. Yeah, it feels really good.
Yeah.
Like I just feel more energized. I feel like the endorphins are coming out and it's great. I highly encourage working out if for no other reason than just to feel good.
I'm with you.
Yeah, I mean, literally like aside from being active, like the only saving grace I have is the fact that I have therapy every Monday because other than that, I'm just like sitting around here all day.
Amen.
But speaking of therapy, we want to remind you again about our partner BetterHelp, who we love because we love that we're able to provide you with a discount to a really great resource. We really believe in therapy. We talk about it all the time. And if this is your first time listening, we have a code for BetterHelp.
Mm-hmm. So if you go to betterhelp.com/itsfine, that's betterhelp.com/itsfine, you get 10% off your first month of service. And you know, you get to talk to a counselor and do virtual therapy sessions, but you also can connect with them via their messaging platform, which I think is another great feature about BetterHelp. They've been doing the online therapy thing for quite some time, even before COVID. So they have a good grasp on how to care for their clients in a way that feels meaningful.
Mm-hmm.
So this episode, we talked to Ramona Sidlow, who was all the way across basically the world. I didn't realize, honestly, how far Hawaii was from us. Actually, she told us while we were interviewing her that Hawaii, I think, is like the farthest from any other continent, maybe she said. I don't remember. But she was like, she made an allusion to like it being really in the middle of nowhere, which I thought was really interesting.
I've been to Hawaii, actually.
Really? I've never been. I really want to go. Did you like it?
I loved it. I went to Maui and I had to like go to L.A., and then flew to Honolulu and then flew to Maui.
I'm sure I would love it. And Ramona talks a lot about her literal journey there, but also like her spiritual journey there. She was really gracious enough to do individual energy and astrology readings with me and Sarah. And then she did one for the podcast, which I thought was so cool.
I didn't realize what it was going to be until it was happening.
Yeah, she did like the reading for the podcast. Yeah. And I thought that was so cool because I didn't realize like technically astrology is just like when you're born. And so we gave her the date that the podcast launched. And she kind of did a reading for the podcast, which was so cool. I honestly was like really a skeptic about astrology.
Same.
But I found it to be just incredible. And I think everyone really can get something out of listening, even if you don't believe in astrology at all, because I just found it to be like a really good grounding exercise.
I completely agree. When she said that she was going to be doing individual readings for us, and then like Liz and I had separate sessions, and then she did a podcast reading, I thought she meant like a reading of like the two of us together. I didn't realize she was doing it like as if the podcast was a person.
Right.
Which was really cool because she was like, okay, your podcast was quote unquote born on da-da-da.
Right.
And then was like, your podcast is about wellness. Your podcast is about... So it was very interesting and very cool.
We absolutely loved having her. She'll give you more information about her because she does this type of work with everyone virtually and, of course, people in Hawaii. I don't know if we have Hawaiian listeners. That'd be cool, though.
If you're from Hawaii, please let us know.
Please let us know. And, like, we'll come over and stay at your house for free. So here's our episode with Ramona.
Enjoy.
Hello, my sweet girls. It's nice to see you. I had such a beautiful time with the both of you. Individually, you both really inspired so much in me. That's really why I do this work, to connect with others. So I hope you guys are feeling okay. I know I come in a little hot on session, so I hope that both of you guys are okay. And just want to check in before we start to just kind of balance the room a little bit. So I am going to look at the astrology chart of your podcast. So as you both know, I'm the queen, not the queen, that's too strong, but I am the girl who brings astrology into every conversation. So it's only fitting that if I'm going to go on a podcast and talk, then I really do my due diligence to look at that astrology chart. So the podcast is a Virgo sun, and then it is a Capricorn moon with a Pisces rising. So just off the top of my head, what is that going to tell me? So, you know, I like to do that sun, moon, and rising as the trilogy. So your sun sign is in Virgo in the seventh house. So the seventh house is all about relationships, partnerships, in the sign of Virgo, which is about services to the community, about health, about medicine, about that type of thing. So already off the top of my head here, it seems like you guys are on the right track for what the podcast is. As I mentioned, Virgo is about service to the world. It is about medicine. It is about health. It's the color green. And again, the seventh house partner and relationships. You guys have a lot of Virgo planets in the seventh house. So Mars, which is the planet of how you get it done in the seventh house in Virgo, this podcast is getting it done with services to the community. The life purpose of that Virgo sign is to bring the services. The Virgo is also the critic. So I need you guys to be very careful of being overcritical. The Virgo's job here is to be the critic, to be a critic. You guys would make, you know, I think as you talk about that with your podcast, it's not about always being critical, but it's about really looking at every side of it. So coming and saying, Sarah saw it like this, and she's exploring every side of it. Liz saw it like this. It's not critique, but you see what I'm saying? It's like, it's looking at every side of it. I think sometimes Virgos get a bad rap because they are so critical. It's just their job to be the critic of the zodiac. The life purpose of the Pisces is to get out in the world, to reach people, and to unite people. It's exactly what you're doing in this podcast. Be careful, because it does live in illusion. It lives in being addicted to anything, being addicted to the next mental health thing, being addicted to this, being addicted to getting better, when that sometimes that messes up our cultivation a little bit, right? It's also a water sign. Pisces is water, the other two are earth. So make sure that you give a little bit of the earth to the water, and you give a little bit of the water to the earth. You have Neptune and Pisces in your first house. Neptune rules Pisces, so that's going to be steroids. It's like you're on steroids. You're lost. In the first house is about self, is about the individual. So you guys might feel a little bit lost in that. But you have Chiron and Aries right next to it, the planet of healing, healing self. Aries is ruled by the first house. Aries is the first sign of the zodiac. So this podcast is here to heal self, to heal the individual, to heal the identity. Keep that in mind as you're bringing it to life. It is here to serve and heal, and to give people a place like that. The Pisces energy in the first house too is like giving a people a place to almost have their own fantasy about a mental health journey, right? Like allowing the imaginative way in which we think to be part of the process. That sometimes I think Pisces energy is good because it's like, I imagine. Capricorn is I use, Virgo is I serve. So kind of putting all of that together. And I think Pisces, like, I mean, I love the mystical side of life. So bringing that into it, that part, that deeper connection to spirituality part, I think would be good. Next, you have, this one's on fire, Jupiter in Sagittarius in the ninth house. The ninth house rules Jupiter, and Jupiter rules Sagittarius. That is double steroids right there. You guys will be lucky in this ninth house stuff. Anything that has to do with rules, morality, higher education, philosophy, religion, how you experience truth, how you perceive the meaning of life. So you're lucky in how you view life. You are lucky philosophers. That's what that tells me.
Interesting.
So like, I would say like in simple things, like, and maybe this is wrong, but like Liz is going to want to do like a lot of writing. Whereas like Sarah may want to make like the creative stuff.
Yeah.
Is that true?
Exactly how it is.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. So that's, yeah, like the Libras, you know, like the, let me find the page that says it. So the Libras are the lover, the artist, and the peacemaker. Mm-hmm. And the Geminis are the witness, the teacher, the storyteller, and the journalist. So yeah, I mean, I think that's a little bit just about the chart. I heard this wonderful astrologer. Her name is Ann Ortley. She does this weekly, astrology on this handle called Astrology Hub. And she just does like a weekly astrology report. And they were talking about astrology is just data points. It's just different data points for us to look at our lives and to just understand kind of what's happening in the stars.
I think a lot of people come into astrology with not necessarily misconceptions, but like unfair conceptions about what astrology is. Mm-hmm. Do you ever have clients come to you who are complete skeptics, or would you feel like the people who come to you are like ready, on board, and they're like, I'm coming to you because I feel like I'm ready to take the next step in this journey? Like, I'm curious about that.
Oh my gosh, I feel like I get both.
Okay.
And I feel like I'll be, and I can intuitively feel the minute that they're uninterested. So for me, because I am an energy healer, that is a really unapproachable word in 2020. It's not something that is very mainstream medically. It's even scientifically, there's not a lot of people who are putting their focus on energy in the world, although energy is everything and energy is matter and all that stuff. And so astrology has been a really great way to almost be like the beginner's guide to healing. People know what astrology is. You can, the majority of people, you could walk out in the world and be like, oh, what's your sign? You know, like Biggie raps about it, right? Like, so it is very approachable. And for me, like my goal as an energy healer, as a self-love advocate, is to teach people how to really tune into themselves. So are they skeptical in the beginning? Yes. But then some people are, but then you get into the chart and that you have one aha moment and they're like, wow, I'm going to really use that. And then it becomes a deeper catalyst for, okay, so now let's really focus a little bit more on the energy and the chakras versus just your astrology. But it has been a very beautiful tool, especially during COVID when, you know, my business is actually in person. Like you guys just did an on Zoom session, which is great and super powerful. But I guarantee you, like if we did this in person, you would be like, whoa, like it's right. So much more powerful. Mm-hmm. So astrology was something that I sort of had to just, well, I picked it up really easily and I've been obsessed with it for years. So I was stoked about it, but it is also a really nice tool to sort of get people to start looking at themselves and to get people to start, you know, just approaching it as a way to tune into themselves.
Yeah. It feels like it's a really good orienting tool at the very least. Like if you can kind of understand, because I think there's occasions when I hear what you say about me and Sarah, or just me, or I'm sure with Sarah. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I'm like, oh, that's spot on. That's me.
Yeah.
Or there was one time, I think even today, but when you were talking to me, for example, you spoke about like healing with the father. And I was like, that doesn't sound right. Like I feel like I'm good in that area. And then like, the more I thought about it, I was like, huh, like that's, you're onto something. You know what I mean? I felt like mm-hmm. even when you were talking about with the podcast, you were sort of saying like, Liz is like the talker and Sarah is like the balance keeper. And I was like, no, that's not right. Because like Sarah talks more.
Yeah.
But then I think like there's something to be said about that orientation because it's like, that just helps me learn. Because if like, maybe I'm like destined to be the talker. I was like born the talker and like you've become the talker. You know what I mean? Like there's a way to orient us so that we can kind of understand like why might we benefit from me talking and you balancing as opposed to like the way that we have it now. Does that make sense to you? Like mm-hmm. it's not always telling you like what is happening, but rather like right. what you are.
Right.
I don't know if yeah. that tracks with you, Ramona. If
that yeah. makes sense. And I think that the main thing about the natal chart, which we did natal chart readings, natal charts are based on the planetary alignments of the time when you guys were born and the location. So for the podcast, it was the location and time and date of the first episode.
Right.
So it's a great way to look at the personality. It's a great way to look at ways in which you are skillful in the world mm-hmm. and also unskillful in the world. Mm-hmm. So in my practice as a self-love advocate and as an energy healer, you know, we've got to really get real with ourselves first before we begin the journey of healing, right? Like mm-hmm. my new motto is you got to feel it to heal it. And in order to do that for me, I'll just use me as an Aries. I am independent. I am fearless. And I am very adventurous. When it comes to healing, I will go. I will get it, right? But I'm also rash, impulsive, childish, and kind of ungrounded. So if I just look at my astrology chart, I know, okay, like in order for me to be on the skillful side, I have to acknowledge the unskillful side, right? Mm-hmm. Which is so much about what we do in cognitive behavioral therapy or any therapy, right? Like, it's like, let's just get to the core root of who we are and why, and then take that as a place to heal. So astrology has just been that for me. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, as much as I love the astrology, I do love the energy healing also. And they've been this beautiful pairing of just going deeper into getting people to learn to love themselves. Like, I love the fact that I'm reckless, impatient, and impulsive, right? Mm-hmm. But I didn't know that until I could really get comfortable expressing that or learning that as I go. So that's yeah.
Yeah. I mean, just to rewind a little bit. So where did your, well, I guess you kind of touched on this a little bit, but I guess where did your interest in like self-love and also helping others stem from? Like, where did your mental health journey begin? And how did you really discover? Because I know you were telling me this in our individual session, just for our listeners. I don't know if we talked about this, but Ramona so kindly gave Liz and I individual energy healing sessions before this so that we could better understand what you do. So how did you get into that? And I know you were like working for a brand before and, you know, just how did you get into it and what interested you about it?
So, that's a great question. So I think my mental health journey really began, when I was a child. I grew up in an alcoholic home. You know, and everything that comes with that is hard, is very challenging on a young brain. And by the time I was 18, I was a drug addict and I ran away from home to go on the Grateful Dead tour. And that came, you know, as much as that was the most magical time of my life, it did come with an, I was using intravenous drugs at 19 and I was, sleeping in hotels in San Francisco and on the streets. And, you know, there's a lot of trauma associated with drug addiction. There's a lot of trauma associated with alcoholic parents. And so by the time I was 25, I decided that I could no longer really use drugs or alcohol because it was not, you know, I have one of those drug problems that like, was really dark, like really, really out there. So I at 25, I decided to get sober and I was living in New York City at the time. And it was great because my peers were all sober. Everyone I knew my age was sober. I went out more as a sober person in New York City than I did any other time. And I could go out. My sober friend was the DJ. My sober friend was the party promoter. And I lived in a really beautiful world where it was cool. I mean, we stuck together. We rolled hard. We had each other's backs, you know? And as I continued down this journey of sort of being pretty baseline, being like, yeah, I'm fine. People being like, how you doing? Oh, I'm good. You know, hey, is everything okay? Yeah, totally. How are you? I was the queen of like, mm-hmm. I was the queen of deflection. Like, don't ask me about me because I will flip it on you. And I really walked around in this land of perfectionism until about 4 years ago. And I want to preface this. I had the best life in New York City. My birthday party was in Page Six once. Oh my I could gosh. Go into any nightclub I ever wanted. I had great jobs. I had everything that you could ever dream of. I dreamed that life for myself in New York City. Oh. And I'm so grateful for it. And about 4 years ago, I was on the global marketing team at Spotify, another job that I manifested. I once wrote in a journal that I wanted a job where I traveled around the world and I got it. And in this, during this time, at this point, I'm in double-digit sobriety and simultaneously as I'm working a job that is stressing me out, like literally the stress levels were through the roof. I was also calling off a relationship with someone that I'd been with for almost 10 years. And it was just like a combo package of emotional stress, work stress, that my physical body, for the first time since, you know, stopping drugs and alcohol, was getting really sick. I was really sick. I got this parasite. The doctor was like, your immune system can't fight anything. I had this parasite for like 3 months. My entire body was inflamed. Underneath my eyes was black. And I was just a disaster. And I remember every day showing up to work just miserable. Like, I was not happy. I was sad all the time. It felt really chronic. It felt like I was never going to feel better. I would have like little glimmers of hope where I'd be like, oh, that felt great, only to feel low again constantly. You think about it, it was so chronic. I was suicidal. You know, I was, my pride was going to keep me from drinking, but I'm not sure if that would have kept me from not killing myself, you know, and I have to be really honest about that. I know that's scary, but that's how I felt my life. I manifested everything I ever wanted, but I showed up to my own life every day just like burnt out. Mm-hmm. I was like, I hate this. Or like, I'd be like having tea at the Ritz Paris and be like, oh, you know, everything I ever wanted was to travel around the world. And so I was on a trip to Hawaii. I'd been coming here. Wow, I'm really emotional talking about this. I'd been coming to Hawaii for a minute. Like, my brother used to live here. My mom's sister lives here. And in my astrology chart, actually, Venus, the planet of love and happiness, rolls right through the center of Oahu. So I would come here and I'd be like, this is the spot. Like, this, I love it here. But at the time, I was like a New York City hustler. Like, you were not taking me out of Manhattan. No way. There's no other place that exists besides New York. You know, so I was here on vacation and I was just like, I would come here to sort of like charge up. I would see healers here. I would try to like get healthy. You know, my version of health and wellness was like running or eating a salad for lunch. Right. I had no idea, you know, like I was like, oh, I go to SoulCycle. I have wellness in my life. Like, because I only understood it in the body. Right. So I'm here and I'm just like, oh my God, I'm so miserable. I'm like, I'm going to move here or I'm getting a new job in LA. So I go back. I was living in Los Angeles at the time, flying between New York and LA and all over the world. So I go back to Los Angeles. I start applying for jobs. I literally have a resume that is on fire. Like, who doesn't want global marketing, Spotify pre-IPO? Mm-hmm. Just, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
I don't get any jobs. And then all of a sudden, a few months later, there's an apartment available in Hawaii. And then a week later, there's a job available in Hawaii. So perhaps maybe it was decided for me. I believe in angels and all that and God. So then all of a sudden, I finally called off that wedding. I put in my notice at Spotify. And literally everyone is like, what are you doing?
Right.
Literally, like, you cannot move there. You can't go to Hawaii. Like, people at Spotify are like, this, I don't know if you want to do this. And I'm like, you guys, I have to go. And with such conviction, I was like, I have to go. And I don't really know anyone here. I don't, you know, I mean, this is so foreign from anything. I feel like an alien here, and I've been here 4 years. So I get here. It's like, boop, dropped in the ocean, in the tropics. And, you know, you get that vitamin G recharge. So you're like into it. You're on the pink cloud. I'm surfing every day. I sign up for this healing school that the teacher, it's called Sacred Path Healing School. It's here in Hawaii. The teacher, Rui Raiborn, was someone that I had come and get healings from when I was on my vacations here. And she'd always mentioned the school and I was like, nah, like I'm not going to be able to go. And then it was starting the month after I got here. So I really blindly signed up. I didn't really know exactly what I was doing, and it changed my life. It was a 3-year program, which not a lot of schools are offering. Actually, I'm not even going to say that. It's a very intense program where I dedicated the past 3 years of my life to healing. And what does that mean? We use words like healing, right? Like, that seems like such a egocentric word, like, oh, you're a healer. Like,
right.
Mm-hmm. You know, like, people are like, what planet are you on? You know what I mean? Like, so I've learned that language is super important. So, you know, the first year of the school was focused on looking at my life, for the first time ever, I had to look at all the trauma that had been basically up to about my head. The trauma that was drowning me, that kept, I kept adding on. I had to really walk into that, because how could I be of service to the world if I'm not first looking at myself? Mm-hmm. And I know that there's this whole mentality around, oh, you have to love yourself first before you can love others. I don't necessarily, that's not what I'm trying to say. I'm just saying that I believe in a spiritual practice where I am very consciously looking at myself. My teacher said it like this: you can only heal people as much as you're willing to heal. And I looked at it all. I was like, let's go, like head on. I was like, who wants to party? Darkness, let's do this. I really, you know, and I had the security of a teacher and I had practitioners around me, you know, and, you know, I called the tropical incubator out here. I live in a terrarium because I needed that kind of healing. And I'm grateful and I'm privileged that I get that. And so through this school, through understanding the human energy field, through understanding trauma, through understanding a mind-body spiritual connection, I learned that I have some pretty cool skills that help me tune into people's energy fields. And I'm going to take an energetic approach to healing versus a more traditional approach that might say diet, right? I'm a vibes person. I've always been a vibey person. I remember as a kid, people were sad and I would know it before they said anything to me. I learned that I am an empath and that I am, you know, so I have a Scorpio moon. So Scorpio is the sorcerer, the hypnotist. My whole life, I've always felt these sort of non-earth things. Like I've seen ghosts since I was a kid, you know, and I know that that's weird. People, it's like weird, but it's true. Like, I've had these really wild spiritual experiences in my life that like, I cannot explain them. And when I learned, what I learned through this school is that we all have high sense perception and we have the ability to tune into that if we're in good self-care, if we're really in the present moment, if we're really in a space where we're nurturing ourselves. So all of a sudden, by the third year, we start to learn to, or the second year, we start to put our hands on people. And I can, all of a sudden, I'm my hands are on a human body and I'm feeling heat and I'm feeling energy. A common, something similar to this would be Reiki. People know that word. The difference is my hands are really on you. So all of a sudden I'm working on bodies and my mind is clear for the first time in my life and I can feel energy. And I'll say, oh, we're working on your first chakra, because I focus on the seven chakras because it's a full body approach, right? Mm-hmm. And I can just intuitively kind of know what's happening in the body. And I'm just able to like intuitively navigate things differently. And I'm tuning into my high sense perception. And I come to this moment where, what is my purpose? I know we're all searching for our purpose. And my purpose is to learn to love myself so that I can help other people learn to love themselves. And every bit of trauma up until this point, every pain, every injury, all of it is my gift back to the world. And so all I want to do is bring this to people that need it the most. I want to have a way in which I can help marginalized communities, because this type of wellness is not accessible to marginalized communities. Wellness is a luxury item, mm-hmm. and it doesn't need to be. And I am working with every bone in my body to learn how to get it to people that need it, to find trauma. What I learned in all of this is I have PTSD. Do I have addiction? Do I have anxiety? Do I have depression? Wholeheartedly. But when you change the conversation to look at the big picture, which is I have PTSD that caused me to put needles in my arm, that caused me to go live on the streets, that caused me to be really anxious and suicidal. And the world is full of people walking around how to deal with their trauma. So I want to be a self-love advocate. I learned that using words like energy healing was not approachable to people because they're like, what are you talking about? Right. But if I could say, oh, I'm a self-love advocate, I'm here to help you manage the day-to-day stresses of being human and to disrupt the status quo of I'm being fine. None of us are fine. No, no one is fine. Like, mm-hmm. and we don't talk about that enough. We don't talk about how complicated it is to be a person. We don't, I mean, there are, you guys are, people are starting to do it, but like, I want to make it okay to talk about your feelings and to show up to work and be like, I'm really sad today, but I'm here to do my job. I want to teach people about how burnout doesn't have to rule your life or ruin it. And just teach people how to connect to a mind, body, spiritual connection and be their best selves. I don't want to say best selves because that's bullshit too, but like just to be in a place where you're not so distracted by the lower vibrational thinking.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's not best self like perfectionism. It's best self.
Yeah.
You're feeling
like you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And if that means that you're sad, cool. I bring it on. Where are all the sad boys? Mm-hmm. Call me and girls, you know, yeah. like I sometimes use language like bro and stuff, but I mean everyone. 3 months ago, I went to my friend's penthouse and I was like, what would happen if I jump? I'm not going to jump.
Yeah.
But like, it's like that. And that's really, thoughts,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's really what I want people to feel around me. Show up however you are. Oh, you're sad? Cool. Me too. Mm-hmm. Or you're happy? Awesome. Let's talk about how you got there. Oh, you're still sad this week? Okay, cool. Me too. Mm-hmm. Or I'm not sad, but I have, you know, we're not normalizing all the feelings.
Yeah.
And we live in a perfection culture. Like, I don't want to bash any of it. I just want to say like, hey, however you show up, messy, put together, collected, not collected, I'm down for it and I'm not going to judge you. And I want to make that more, not more. I want to make that just common. I want to help people tune back into themselves and their own creativity and their own vibes to just be what they want to be, not controlled by these narratives or inherited feelings from childhood.
Oh my God. No, you just said like so much that I like have so many thoughts running through my head. The first thing that I thought was so compelling was you talking about like how you went from drug addiction to sobriety. And I feel like that is so often where the story ends. Like when you hear these stories about people who reach sobriety, you're like, congratulations, you did it. And to the fact that your story is still, you're still in the middle of your story, but that you went from like being on the streets and using intravenous drugs to like having this very glamorous life that so many people aspire to. And that like still you ended up in a situation where you felt very broken and like uneasy, I think is extremely just realistic and important for people to hear. It can obviously be very scary for people to hear that, because if there's people who are struggling with addiction, like I talk often about having an eating disorder, which is not like drug addiction, but it has those similar elements of like finding identity mm-hmm. through like just very unhealthy self, you know, behavior. And I have this feeling of, I had this feeling of like, well, I don't want to like be done with this part of me or like this thing that's keeping me going, because once I do that, then what's left? And like mm-hmm. you were sober and you said you were having like so much goodness, but then you also felt burnt out. I don't know. My point is like, there are these arcs to life that don't just start with like drug addiction. Oh, we're good. Like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yes.
Yeah. I don't know. That wasn't a question. That was just me reflecting on like all the things you said.
Yeah. And I want to jump in on the addiction thing that you're talking about. I'm launching a conscious sobriety, circle collective. I'm calling it Being a Human is Hard, Conscious Sobriety Collective. And it's about what you're saying is that you do have an addictive brain, because it was, and so do I. And so does the person who's looking at porn all day, or so is the person who can't stop shopping, or whatever it is. It's the same thing, which is like, you are addicted to something that's taking you out of the present moment. And like, we don't always have to like attach to, I'm an alcoholic, you know, like, yeah, I am all those things, but like, here I am on October 31st, I would have not drank for, now we're at 15 years.
Wow.
This is 2005, right? That would make me 15 years. You start to lose track of count, but like, but I still, although I'm not like a heavy drinker and drug user anymore, my thinking is still the same.
Yes.
So to your point of this like ebb and flow arcs of life, it's like until I really started to manage my thinking and the distraction. What did I say once that I heard this on a podcast, that thoughts are just sounds? And I was so distracted by the sounds so many times. And it was through the work of mind, body, spiritual connection, through the work of finding God, if that's a word you're comfortable with, finding a higher power, you know, whatever. Like, it was through that work, learning that these were all, if I did all of these things together versus compartmentalizing them, well, no, I pray over here.
Right.
And I go to my therapist over here, and I go to the gym. No, it's like all the same thing. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So once I didn't know that before. And I don't think I was really, to be honest, I don't think I was ready to have it that way. I think that there's also part of this that if you're struggling right now, you know, find me on Instagram. I'm here. I'm, you know, but like, know that like it, the struggle is also for our highest good. That like, and I think that like, if you're, I'm really into Buddhism, and you know, it's like, this is my agreement with the universe before I got here. If you believe in incarnating into this, why I look at an astrology chart, because that's what you came here to work on. In my opinion, the purpose of life is to suss through lessons and karma and where we feel confinement, right? And if I can just look at my struggle, not as a victim, but as the, like, that's it. Like, if I go in the darkness, the answer is over there. If I go to the darkness, the lights turn back on. It's science. You know what I mean? Like, and I didn't know that until the past 3-4 years. That's what I learned, was that all of that stuff was actually the gold at the end of the rainbow, or whatever, however you want to refer to it. And I didn't know that. I had no idea. So I guess my message to the person in this moment that's hearing this, that is struggling, like, one, I am sorry. And if you find me, like, again, I am not trying to plug myself or my own Instagram, but truly, like,
plug yourself.
But find me on Instagram. I say it all the time. Like, if you are suffering, let's talk about it. Let's get to a place where you're not stuck. The other thing I learned here was I was so stuck. The trauma, the brain damage from the trauma, my body was stuck. It truly, from an energetic perspective, that's what I learned. I learned where the energy is stuck. And so that's what a lot of this is too, that even one time opening up that you want to kill yourself is releasing a little bit of energy. And if you keep consistent with that mind, body, spiritual connection, and you keep consistent with the work or whatever you want to call it, mm-hmm. like, you start to like open up a little bit. And haven't you guys felt that in your journey of mental health? The more that you looked at it, the more loose you felt about it, the less constricted.
It's even, right? Like, after, you know, I remember when I first started going to therapy, it was like when those first sessions, just releasing some of the things that I had never spoken about, or even just discussing things for the first time ever, or even that first time that I kind of came to terms with like who I was as a person, it was just like kind of a weight lifted off my shoulders. Not to say that that just solved everything. Obviously there was a lot of work to do, but I think, like, you know, what I really admire is, as Liz was saying, like, not only did your story not end with you became sober, but also, you know, a lot of people would look at the life you had before as like the life everyone wants to have. But in reality, and what you've shown us, is that the life that you should live is the life that like is right for you, and the life that like you're meant to live. So it's like, I think I often get myself into these like endless cycles in my head where I'm like, I should be doing this, or this looks right, but that's not actually what's beneficial to me. And I think, like, you know, through my own therapy and coming to terms with who I am and where I come from and my own like traumas, I've been able to better understand like what makes sense for me as opposed to what I should be doing. Right. And it feels a lot better. And it helps
totally
me, like, live life to my fullest potential, as opposed to that, like when you were saying, it's like being your best self isn't about perfectionism. It's about like finding out who you are and then taking the road that you're kind of like meant to go down.
Totally. And this not comparing ourselves to others, you know, That's why I same. You know, it's hard. Like 2020 is rough, man. Like, because, you know, we live in the technology era. We live in the age of connection. And don't get me wrong, I love all of it. I love it. I love that I live in the middle of nowhere. Did you guys know that Hawaii is the farthest landmass from any landmass? I live in the middle.
Neither.
Yeah. So I like live in the middle of nowhere. And I love that social media keeps me connected to my friends. I love that I can be like, oh, da 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 da. But at the same time, I also love that it tunes me out a little bit. That I find myself doom scrolling,
yeah,
you know, and so like, or comparing, you know, I'm 40 years old and I'm single and I don't have any kids. That's not like, it's fine, but it's like, that's not exactly what society says is quote unquote right. Mm-hmm. Right. So like sometimes some of my biggest triggers are like, well, I don't have any kids and I'm single. And it's like, yeah, because this is what I need right now. It's not what I want. And you're really talking about that too. Like, that's what this journey was for me. Like, I spent my life giving myself what I wanted versus what, and I ignored what I needed. And now it's like the opposite. And I feel like my life is just starting. I mean, I feel like I love all the memes that are like, show the person at 40 who started their life, or show, you know, or like there's more women who are like really openly being like, yeah, I don't have any kids. So what? You know, and like, it's just so, the whole thing is all so interesting. I'm like, I'm nannying right now because I'm growing my business. I wanted to try to keep my energy really clear for my own stuff. And I knew I could probably get a marketing remote job, but it would suck my creativity. And I want my energy for my stuff now. And it's funny, like, you know, you cry about not having kids at 40 and then all of a sudden you find yourself raising other people's kids. And it's the most, and Liz, I know you get that. Yeah. And so it's like, this really, if I could just stop being so victimized by all these experiences and just know that whatever happens to me today in this moment, whether it makes me feel higher vibrational or lower, is for my highest good. That I made an agreement with the guy upstairs or the girl upstairs, whatever, the tree next door, mm-hmm. that's what we're going to roll with today. And if I could just roll with that and let it teach me, instead of being like, well, I wanted this and I want, it's like, well, that wasn't the plan.
Right.
And I'm just going to try to let go and roll with the feelings. Cause do not get me wrong. I still cry all the time. Mm-hmm. I still have wild triggers. I still feel abandonment on a very primal level, but my recovery time has improved. Why do I get healings at least once a week. I do the treatments that I do on others. I get done on me once a week. I have a very fun daily rituals that I participate in that are about mind, body, spirit. I meditate for about 20 minutes a day. I'm constantly reading. I'm listening. I consume information that is helping me learn. I write every morning. I write a gratitude list. I try to work out. And I'm not saying this to overwhelm people or to be like, well, look at me, or do you got to do it this way? But it's like, it, you know, I do that stuff because it makes me feel so good. Mm-hmm. Because my output improves, because I write something for my business and I'm like, holy crap, that was so good. And then I look back and I'm like, oh, because I did all of the things that I know, I meditated, and then I do my prayer ritual. And then I do this, and then I eat, and then I've drank water. I'm like, oh my gosh. And it was like those, that's why I did it. Not to make people feel like they're not good enough, is allow your body the space and the variety to fail. Mm-hmm. I'll use meditation as the example. Obviously, meditation is super trendy right now, right? Mm-hmm. Everybody's trying to meditate. Everybody's pushing it. And rightfully so, because from a scientific perspective, it is so good for your mind, your nervous system, your brain. So in my school, we are taught how to meditate. We're taught how to teach people how to meditate. And I swear, like, I would never do the meditation homework. I would just skip it. Or I would do like the bare minimum. And so for 3 years, I was sort of on and off, hot and cold. At one point I bought like a really cute like meditation mat. It literally sat on the floor for 6 months. And then one day after trying and stopping, that's, I'm an Aries, so that's also part of me. After like pushing myself to meditate for like 10 minutes. One day I woke up, I got on that mat. I have not looked back since. And now I'm up to 20 minutes a day. So I'm using that as an example that if you want to participate in the healing of your life or your circumstance, it's the same as like getting like a hot body for the summer. You have to like work at it. You have to try a few different things. Like, if you want abs, you have to do the ab exercises. If you want a mind-body spiritual connection, you have to do the mind-body spirit stuff. You have to sit on a meditation mat for 5 minutes and not really meditate, or, you know, be uncomfortable doing that. So that's like, don't beat yourself up about where you are in the process of it, because it takes time. It takes a minute for your body to start feeling the reward of it. Mm-hmm. Just from like my favorite neuroscientist, Andrew Huberman. He has a lab at Stanford. He's like my celebrity crush, whatever. He's a neuroscientist. But like, he talks about adrenaline and about focus and then about reward and dopamine. And like, that was one thing that I learned. If I could just learn how to focus. And that's also why I've developed these mind, body, spiritual rituals, because they help me focus. And they help me like activate adrenaline so I can just do what's in front of me, which is be on this podcast with you guys and not be thinking about, oh, I have to go here after this, or, oh, I, no, like I want to be right here with you guys. And then after this, I'm going to take a shower and excrete some dopamine and be like, hell yeah, that was great. I might brush my hair or eat some healthy foods or, you know, so learn about adrenaline, learn about the science around this, learn about how to excrete dopamine, learn how to do all those things so they help build the rituals for you.
Mm-hmm. I have to say, what I experienced when I was in private session with you and what I'm experiencing now is like, I'm having a really easy time paying attention to you. And I find that even when we have the most compelling guests, even when I'm in like a really compelling conversation, I really just always find my mind wandering. So I have to give you credit, and credit to the space that you're in, because I just really like when you were saying, oh, I'm paying full attention to this. I was like, oh my God, I am too. It was like the craziest.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome. I think I obviously attribute some of that to you, and also just to the practice itself. I think like, I am one of those people who will figure, like, I'll read about a habit that helps people, like how people dive into ice baths in the morning or meditate. And I'm like, that sounds great. And I'm sure it works for them, just like I'm sure it works for you. And then I can't do it. Like, I don't know what it is. I'm just like, no, I can't do it. Like, journal every night. No, like, I'll do it two nights in a row. Forget. Can't do it. Don't feel like it. Too lazy. So, again, this is not a question, but just I feel like there's something here. Like, I have to.
Yeah.
Figure out a way to tap into this energy more, because I am scraping by. Like, I think people see me on Instagram, or they hear me talk on the podcast, or they see me in my work or in my work environments or whatever. And they're like, oh, like, she's doing a good job. And that's not like a brag. That's just like, that's how I've been perceived. I'm a very type A, like, get good feedback type person. But I feel like I scrape by. Like, I'm like, let me do the things that show other people that I'm good. And then when it comes to like those actual self-care, self, like best self, quote unquote, practices, I'm not there at all. Mm-hmm. And I think there's like, it's almost the New Yorkers, the hustlers that you talk about are the first ones to be like, I can't really do this energy healing thing, because it's like the very thing we need the most is like that. Mm-hmm. Practice of like finding where we actually are instead of clinging to those activities where we get like external validation from people. Oh my God, that was such a roundabout way of saying like, I like feel very in touch with like myself when I'm doing this. And I think that that's so foreign. Like, and I think a lot of people who are listening would benefit from that.
Yeah. I think just to add on to what you're saying, from the New York hustler perception, it's kind of like we feel like we don't have the time to put it into ourselves, or it's just like, who has time to meditate every day? Or I personally used to feel like self-care was selfish, which is really not a great thing. I mean, at the Libra in me, I'm like the people pleaser, right? I'm like, I don't have time for myself. But I remember a couple years ago when I was going through like a tough breakup, someone was like, you really have to try yoga. And yoga to me was the same thing as like the meditation and the rituals. I couldn't get myself to do it because I was like, no, like that. I didn't really believe in it, first of all. Second of all, I didn't believe that like a physical, like sitting down, practicing mindfulness or like doing yoga for 10 minutes. I didn't think it was going to have any impact on my brain. And I also felt like it was this huge task that I had to like, okay, if I start yoga, that means I have to do it every single day.
Yeah.
And if I start meditating, then it's like, all right, well, now you have to do it every single day and for like this amount of time. And it just felt like too much. I was like, I can't even take that on. So I'm not even going to start. And then someone was like, literally go to a yoga class, just get there. Once you're there, it doesn't even matter what you do, just make it to your mat. And then once I got there, I was like, okay, pressure off the table. I'm literally just going to sit here and see where it takes me. And like the teacher, I remember one of the first things the teacher said was like, no one's looking at you, just try. And I was like, okay, no one's looking at me. I don't even know anyone here. I'm just going to like try and get into this child's pose. And I kid you not, like an hour after that class, I literally was like, I've never felt so present in my entire life. And it was like anxiety who. I mean, obviously that doesn't last forever, but like just practicing being present is so life-changing. But you actually have to like put in physical, like even like sitting down, not speaking or putting your phone away for an hour or practicing yoga or whatever it is. It's like, it is so life-changing. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. And I like for all the hustlers out there listening, you know, I make suggestions like maybe the next time you're in a taxi cab, put on a meditation or utilize the space at which you're in transportation that can help. And my whole thing is mind, body, spiritual connection, meditation, movement, and gratitude. And also just learning how I've been talking a lot about this because this is like kind of what's happening in my own life is create the ritual in the security of your own home, right? Like your daily rituals, like prepare yourself before you leave the house, right? Like, cause I hate to break it to everyone, but like, it's like, we're going to battle. Like yeah. Every time I step out of my security terrarium of my home, I'm about to go out into the world and who knows what I'm going to face, whether I'm battling myself, whether I'm battling someone else, like it doesn't matter. So it's like, I hate to use war, but it's like, I need to be prepared on the battlefield.
Right.
And in the beginning of this journey, when I was all over the place, I simply took notes in a notebook. I kept one notebook where I was like, oh, I like this meditation. I like this workout. And I needed a reference point. I needed the reference. I needed the physical thing. So I would just encourage you, find some things, try a bunch of different things, try 100 things. If they stick, cool. If they don't, just get into the mentality of like part of the learning is the falling off. I fall off. Like, you know, I sometimes will be like, well, I don't really feel like doing that. And then I don't do it. And then I feel really weird because my body is starting to know the difference. So I would just say, allow your space, the time to do it and look at your life and say, okay, I have 10 minutes here. Mm-hmm. I have 5 minutes here. Walking meditations, or I listen to a lot of classical music when I'm moving because it's really slowing my nervous system down. This is also about learning how to relax, you know, parasympathetic to sympathetic nervous system. It's about really learning how to relax. So like, I get it. We're all on the go. I get it. It's fun to be zooming and moving, but it's also fun to be conscious and to be collected. And like, I realized my whole life I was accident prone. I was always like a little like messy, you know, and like, that's cool. But now I know. And even still, I'm still messy. I'm the queen. I forget everything. Like I, you know, but like, if I could just learn how to slow down a little bit and look at my whole day and say, okay, I'm going to work on the ritual from the safety of my home. And then once I'm in the streets, these are some things that I do to just realign. Because I'm in the streets a lot. I wish I was in those New York City streets. But like, you know, I've got to have on the ground anxiety toolkit. And that was also what I did was I wrote stuff down. I had notes saved in my phone. So when I would get triggered, I would be like, oh, hold on. let me just, you know, even if I didn't do anything, it was the act of acknowledging that I had a different way to react. So I think allow it to be a research project for yourself. Allow it to be an opportunity for learning and growth versus an opportunity to like bully yourself again. You know, do we really have to keep bullying ourselves to be like perfect? None of this is perfect. And I know it sounds so much easier said than done, but one day I just stopped being so rude to myself about it. I just was like, I'm doing the best I can. If that means eating Taco Bell today, cool. That's the best I got. That was the best thing for my body. If that meant I did a 30-second meditation, dope. Instead of always trying to be like, namaste, om, even though I want to get there. Yeah. I totally want to get there, but I also know that sometimes I'm not, and that's namaste and om too.
Yeah.
Well, I do want to give you the opportunity to kind of tell our listeners what you can do for them if mm-hmm. they're interested in seeing you separately mm-hmm. after this, you know, plug your Instagram, plug your services. We want to hear because it's been so, totally. So helpful to us. And I'm sure that people will be really excited to hear more about what you do.
Yeah. And also maybe just like a really brief recap of like what someone could expect from yes. a session. Good.
Sure. You can book an individual session with me. Those sessions are usually 60 minutes, about an hour, and it's a hybrid of astrology and energy clearing, energy healing. I would say during those sessions, it's an opportunity for you to relax. It's an opportunity for you to have an hour where we really just focus on you. And generally people come in a little frazzled, a little unsure. And then at the end of the sessions, people usually feel a little bit more grounded, a little bit more in the present moment, and a little bit more relaxed. I can also do group astrology readings. I'm actually after this going to a 16-year-old birthday party to do a little astrology readings for the teenagers. Yeah. So I can do group astrology readings, individual full astrology readings. I teach meditation, so I could teach meditation. I did some corporate meditation work with Spotify and Waze. My Instagram is Aloha Moans, M-O-N-E-S. And my website is just my name, Ramona Sidlow, S-I-D-L-O. And there's a lot of information about my services on my website. I have a little blog on there. It says Dear Diary, which is just a little bit about like me and where I am and how I've gotten there. But, you know, really I'm here to help you develop a self-care toolkit that gets you through the day-to-day stresses of being a human. So I am here to help navigate those stresses and to get you into a more present moment mind state where you can really tackle these hurdles that we're all up against in the day-to-day life of being a person.
Wow. That's awesome.
Yeah.
thank you so much for taking the time to meet with us individually. Mm-hmm. That was such like a treasure and a gift, and for meeting with us and talking about our podcast and for talking to us here. I'm so glad. I think so many people are going to resonate with this, and mm-hmm. Just been such an honor to speak to you.
Yeah.
Totally. Oh, thank you. I feel the same way about you guys. So please stay in touch. And I also want to say like, I'm doing a total sliding scale because of COVID. So my rates are on my website, but by all means, if you cannot afford that, please do not hesitate to still reach out. I'm offering trade. I'm doing my business manager will probably kill me for saying this, but I'm doing trades. I'm doing sliding scale because again, like I don't want a person to ever feel like, well, she's says it's this much for an individual session and I'm unemployed. Just hit me up and we can talk about it. So thank you so much, you guys, for taking the space to let me be tan and chatty.
Thank you so much, Ramona. This was amazing.
Amazing.
I'm so excited for people to hear this.
Okay.
And we'll talk to you about it too, just in terms of scheduling and all that. So thank you again.
Sounds good. Okay. Bye.
Bye.
See you.
So that was Ramona.
She was so great. We were so grateful to have her on our show and to do our private sessions with her.
Mm-hmm.
And I cannot recommend that enough. That was like a really meaningful experience for me. And
me.
And we love having like, I feel like we've been having a lot of
female entrepreneurs on our show recently.
I love that for us. I do and too. For them.
We're actually having one on, I think, our next episode. Her name's Katie, and she's going to talk a little bit about her journey to starting her own company, what that's been like during COVID. We love her company because it is a, like, it's exactly what we talk about. Underclub is a female-founded lingerie subscription service that surprises members with beautiful underwear curated to their unique size and style preferences. Members also get access to the shop for exclusive products and discounts up to 70% off retail. My favorite thing about this brand personally, besides it's just incredibly innovative, I love subscription services, period. Mm-hmm. But it's size inclusive. I think that is just so important. There are so many companies that are doing all of these like subscription box for apparel, mm-hmm. or like, you know, renting clothing or all that stuff. And mm-hmm. I think it's so critical that it's actually a size inclusive brand, especially when you're a company that talks about self-love. It's like,
totally
practice what you preach. And that's exactly what Underclub does. It's size inclusive and members can customize their style and coverage preferences. Like if you want something sexy or feminine, or if you want like bikini or briefs.
Yeah. And all of the products are made from fair trade. So ethical brand partners.
Love that.
And they have styles from brands like I might mess some of these
some of the names up.
Yeah, some of the names up, but I just want to include them because if
we
you
love
know
a
them,
small business.
Yeah, love a small business. Like styles from brands like Notori, Commando, Thistle, Spire, and dozens of other like up and coming female founded small businesses, which like we really love and we want to support as
Definitely.
Much as we can. So subscriptions start at $15 a month, which is great.
Great.
And you can get 20% off your first month when you go to underclub.com and use code ITSFINE20 at checkout. So that's ITSFINE, ITSFINE 20, 20. ITSFINE20 at checkout. And yeah, really excited to be partnering with them.
Excited to have Katie on the podcast to
yes,
talk to us
for
because
sure.
I think there's something really special about being able to talk to like the people who you partner with, because I think it's like a value add to the podcast. I think mm-hmm. when you get to talk to people who start their own business, and when women support other women.
And it's also just like everything that she's doing is so relevant to like what we're doing.
I agree.
It like makes so much sense.
Totally. I think it's like hard to put self-love into practice, and we talk about it all the time. So it's just like, here's an easy way.
Yeah. Anyway, thank you all for listening.
Thank you so much. You know where to find us, but I'll remind you.
Please do.
You can follow us on Instagram at It's Fine I'm Fine Pod, on Twitter at It's Fine I'm Fine PD. You can follow me on Instagram at Liz Height. That's LIZHEIT. How about you, Sarah? Where can they find you?
Sarah Elsa Sohn. That's SARAHLSASSON.
Hey.
On Instagram, TikTok, which I started singing on. It's scary.
Charlotte said you had a really good voice.
Oh
you told me that over
she
FaceTime.
She did? That's
yep, I didn't even ask.
That's so nice. It oh my God, nice. Charlotte, come hang out with us. Okay, and yeah, just Insta and TikTok. And that's pretty much it. And so at the end of the day, it's fine. I'm fine.
It's fine. I'm fine.
Bye.